Eric here.
Great, great, thank you, thank you. Can you hear me? Here we go. I should be on. Hello?
Hello, hello.
Okay, I'm here, and I'm more worried about this thing working than I am about what I'm going to say. But thank you for welcome, and thank you, worship team, for bringing us before God's throne. And I'm looking forward to seeing what I brought my notes. I brought the right notes. I'm looking forward to what I'm going to say because I'm not quite, even though I brought the right notes, I don't know if that's going to make any difference of what comes out of my mouth. So I'm looking forward to this as much as you are. And but seriously, today we're going to look at the Tree of Life. And I want to do more of an overview of the sort of the subject matter of what the Tree of Life is, the sort of the what, the how, the where, and what the Tree of Life is and what it's all about and what we can, what God tells us about this Tree of Life. So let me pray and then we'll get into it. Lord God, we come before you. We thank you that you are the giver of life and that we thank you for your word that you have revealed to us. Pray you'll be with us today as we search your scripture to see just how much you care for us and the life that we can have in you and in your son, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Okay, good, how are we doing? Oh boy, that's okay. I guess I need to speak up or something.
Is that better?
Is that better? Thank you, Ruben. Oh, hey, there we go. All right. Wow. All right, now we got that settled. Oh, yeah, I can go home. Okay, let's turn to Revelation chapter 22. It's in your message notes, the first part where I'm going to start. There's some other scriptures that we're going to put on the screen also. And you can either look to the screen and hopefully they match with what I put in my notes. But let's read this aloud together, Revelation 22, 1 and 2. Are we ready? Then the angel showed me the river of life. I'm sorry. Let's try again. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Great, good job, thank you. All right, so here we are looking at Revelation, this is chapter 22. It's at the very end of the New Testament. And this is part of the vision given to the Apostle John, St. John, as he was on the Isle of Patmos. Okay? So this is just a little bit of background to where we're at for this passage. So John, he's probably the only surviving apostle left. All the other original apostles most likely have died at this time. And John has been exiled to this Isle of Patmos. This is not like going to Catalina. This is like a prison place for prisoners. And so for preaching the gospel, the good news about Jesus, he has been exiled there or banished there. And he has these series of visions throughout Revelation. Okay, and most of you are familiar with this. And this is one of the visions that he's given. And he has like an angel sort of as a tour guide in his visions. And so that's where it comes through. It's not up there. It's over here. The angel showed him, where he says at verse 1, the angel showed me the river of life, the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Okay? And on either side of the street, the river, either side of the river, the tree of life. Okay? So we're going to talk about the tree of life. We're going to talk today. It's in the tree of life that we're looking at here now is in heaven. Okay? God's throne is there, the throne of the Lamb, who is Jesus, is there. And there's a picture of the river of life flowing from that throne. And Christ is reigning there with God. And there's the river of life, and there's the tree of life that is there in this picture of heaven. So this is in the future. Revelation is a future vision that has been given to John. And we're going to look at also, we're going to look at where the tree of life first is introduced to us, and that's at the beginning of the Old Testament. It's introduced to us, and then it shows up here again at the end of the New Testament. And I'm trying not to get those testaments mixed up. New Testament and Old Testament. And really, the events surrounding this tree of life, all the drama, so to speak, that's lived out in our scripture, in the Bible, surrounds really directly or indirectly this tree of life. And where we are today, as far as how we live and the way this world is also affected by the events surrounding the tree of life. So it's really essential, I think, to understand and significant to look at the tree of life and the events surrounding the tree of life, so we have an understanding of God and His Word and how and the world that we live in. Okay, and as you will notice, it's in the middle of the street of the city. So the question is, well, what city is this? Okay, what's the name of this city? New City of Jerusalem, good. Revelation 21. So go to Revelation 21, 1 and 2. There it is. And John writes this. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Okay, so that's correct. This the city here is going to be the New Jerusalem. God is going to do a complete makeover, as we say, of this earth and the heaven. He's going to wipe out this earth, and He's going to start anew in a new heaven. He's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth, and this new city is going to come down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So it's going to kind of float down, sort of like the ball, you know, in New York, and float down and land there on the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And it's prepared as a bride. And the bride, when he's talking about the bride is those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus. Those of us who believe who God is, who God has revealed Himself to be here in the Old and New Testaments, okay? So when He's talking about the bride, the city is a physical place. The inhabitants of that city will be those who believe, who have put their faith in God and their faith in Jesus, okay? And so we're referred to in the New Testament as the bride of Christ. That's who. If you believe, if you've put your faith and trust in Christ, you're going to be a part of this new city that comes floating down. There's something to look forward to, isn't it? Okay. And Paul explains this to us also in Hebrews 13, 14. So Hebrews 13, 14, the Apostle Paul or St. Paul also looks to this new city, and he says, "For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." Right? Paul here is talking about this new Jerusalem that God is preparing, and He's preparing it for us who believe, who put our trust and our faith in God. okay? And this is all future, of course, okay? So let's look to the past to see where the origins, the roots of the tree of life, no pun intended, where roots of the tree of life start, okay? Genesis chapter 2. Let's go to Genesis, first book in your scripture there. Chapter 2 and verse 8. And 9. Okay, let me read that for you. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so here we are at the beginning of the Old Testament. God had just finished creating the heavens and the earth, the original heavens and the earth, and putting everything on it. And he plants this garden. Most of you are familiar with the story, right? So he plants his Garden of Eden, and he puts the man, who we know is called Adam, and he puts him in the garden. And the garden has every tree that's good for food. And we see also that the tree of life is there, but there's also another tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we don't see that tree in the future. We only see it here in the past. So there's two main trees here that we're really concerned with, tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All right, so let's see what else we can need to know about this. Genesis, go to Genesis 2, 15 through 17. Genesis 2, 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So God makes the Garden of Eden, he puts it in place, and then he puts Adam there to take care of it, okay? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of the tree of the garden, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you surely shall die. Okay? The day you eat of it, you surely have died. So we have two trees. One's called the tree of life, and one is called the tree of knowledge, of good and evil. But really, we could almost call it the tree of death, according to God, right? Because when he eats of it, he's going to die. The tree of death. It sounds like a title for a heavy metal song or something, but so there's two trees, and God tells Adam, he puts him in there, he tells him, look, there's two trees, you can eat everything else, right? You can eat of all the other trees that I've made, he has access to the tree of life, but from this one tree, don't eat of it, or you're going to die. Now, isn't that like us? We have all kinds of choices and options, all good ones. God gives us a lot of really good things that we can get into. And what happens? The few little things that we're not supposed to get into, we go for those, don't we? So we can really relate to this choice. So let's see what happens to Adam. And his tale of two trees here, okay? Genesis 2, 18 says, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Okay, so Adam is in the garden, and he's going to take care of everything. And God decides he shouldn't be there by himself. He needs some help. It's a big place. So he brings a help. He's going to bring a helper suitable for him. Okay, and in Genesis 2, 21 through 25, which I'm not going to read, but I'll just summarize that for you, is that God puts Adam, you're familiar with the story, God puts Adam to sleep, knocks him out, takes a rib out, and forms Eve, a woman for him. And this is going to be his help, all right? So you have Adam, and then you have Eve in the garden. Now, think about this, because Eve was not there when God told Adam not to eat of the tree, right? She wasn't around. But Adam knew about this, and he does tell Eve, and Eve becomes his wife. He doesn't have a lot of choices. She's the only one there. So, he calls her woman, and then later on he calls her Eve. He gives her name Eve, and she's called woman, it says, because it was taken out of man. Okay, what did Adam say when he saw Eve? Woo, man! That's where we get the word. So, you can use that later. That's free. All right. All right. So you have Adam and Eve in the garden again. We're pretty familiar with the story, and they're supposed to be man and wife. This is where marriage comes in, and I won't go into a lot of, you know, extra commentary about that. But this is where God establishes what marriage is. Right here, right from the beginning, right in the beginning of the pages of Genesis, okay? And they're both, and interestingly enough, they're both naked, and they're not ashamed, okay? So this is the honeymoon garden, right? Okay, they can just go at it, no clothes, no problem, okay? Nothing holding them back. Everything is really, really cool. But there's going to be trouble in paradise. And Genesis 3, I'll want to summarize this for you for time's sake. Genesis 3, 1 through 19 describes what happens to Adam and Eve. And they're in the garden. Most of you know, again, you know the story. The serpent comes and approaches Eve. And he convinces her that this tree of the knowledge of good and evil is not such a bad tree after all, that she can probably eat of it, and, you know, she's not going to die. She's not going to, boom, eat it and drop dead, fall over and drop dead. So he convinces her of that, and she believes him, and she takes some of the fruit, and she gives some of it to Adam, and they eat. And when they eat, they discover something. Discover, hey, we don't have any clothes on. What's going on here? Okay, right? And they hide. Now they hide from God because they've really, what they've done is they haven't believed what God has told them. They've decided to believe somebody else. And this is the dilemma that every person alive or has to face also. We have to face this. Are we going to believe what God tells us? And are we going to act on what God tells us? Or are we going to believe something else? So they fall for the lie, and there's consequences. Most of you are familiar with the consequences. There's consequences for the serpent who tricked them, and he's got to crawl on the ground. There's consequences for Eve. She's going to have pain in childbirth, and her desire is going to be for her husband, and she's going to have to try to, you know, submit to him, and it's not going to be easy. And Adam now is going to have to, he's going to be banished from the garden, but he's not going to just be able to wander around the garden and eat any of the fruit there that's growing, God has set up for him. He's going to have to work the ground, and it's going to be by his sweat, and the ground is going to produce thorns and thistles, and it's going to be a real struggle, okay? And we all can relate to that. Ladies, you can relate to the childbirth thing, and everybody else working to struggle and sweat now to make it. So those are the initial consequences, all because they didn't act according to what God's word is, all because they didn't hold to God's will for their life. And how do we know what God's will is? We know what God's will is. He tells us in his word. What God reveals to us is what his will is. And this is how we're supposed to believe. We're supposed to believe and act in accordance to God's word. And they failed to do that, and there was consequences for that. And there's the main consequence is, we're going to see, is that the tree of life now is going to be off limits. So let's look at Genesis 30, 20 through 24. Genesis 30, 20 through 24. I think I have that. John, you have that? Genesis 3, excuse me. Genesis 3, 20 through 24. There we go. Let me read this. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil." He ate from the tree of good and evil, and now he knows good and evil. "Now lest he reach out his hand also, take also of the tree of life and live forever." Therefore, God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim, an angel, and a flaming sword that turning every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Okay, so Adam and Eve, because of the consequence of not acting in according to God's will, now they have lost access to the tree of life. They're banished from the garden, and the tree of life now is off limits. And he tells them why. He doesn't want them to eat the tree of life and live forever, because now they're not in a state. Before, they were more in an innocent and pure state before God. But now, because of their disobedience and their unbelief, they've set themselves up to not have access to the tree of life. So the serpent was right. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were opened, but they didn't fall over dead right away, did they? But eventually they are going to die, because there's no access to the tree of life now. And the tree of life, which we're going to have access to in heaven, those who believe, gives us that sustaining life. God provides the sustaining life through this tree of life, okay? So how do we get back to access? Glad you asked that. John 6:40. Fast forward now to the time when Jesus comes. Okay, Jesus says this: "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son, Jesus, and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Okay? In order to have access again to the tree of life, we have to act in accordance to God's will. What is God's will? Well, Jesus tells them, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son, Jesus, and believes." There it is again. Are we going to believe what God has told us? Are we going to put our faith in what God has told us? Or are we going to listen to something else? Or are we going to be distracted by something else? Everyone who believes in him should have eternal life, will have an eternal life, and I, Jesus, will raise him up on the last day. We will be raised up, we'll be placed in that new city of New Jerusalem, for those of us who believe, and we will come down, be on the new heaven and the new earth, and now we will have access once again to the tree of life. Okay, make sense? The Apostle Paul, or St. Paul, describes this, describes what's going to happen this way in 1 Corinthians 15. So go to 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. This is Apostle Paul, or St. Paul. He's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says to them, "For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead." Talking about Jesus. "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." Okay. When Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, death came to them. They eventually died. We have inherited that sin nature, or that fallen nature, as they call it. Okay, that curse, and the ground has been cursed. But when Jesus comes, and we put our, again, we believe what God tells us, put our faith and our trust in him, then those who are in Christ shall be made alive, because the restoration has come through him. And he reconciles us to God. He brings us back to who God is. And now we have a right relationship with God, whereas before we were under that same curse as Adam and Eve. That's why it's essential. There's only one way. You have to go. God provides the way back, and he provides it through the Son, his Son, the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Okay? Amen? So most of you are familiar with that. Also, maybe if you haven't, I'm hoping if this is sort of news to you today, that you will really think about that. Are we going to believe, again, what God tells us, what he tells us about the Lord Jesus, or are we going to believe something else and miss the mark, be off the tree of life? Okay, well, so that's good. That's fine. That's good. Now, how do we stay on the right path? Maybe you've already seen that. Maybe God has already brought you out following something else, and now you're following Jesus. How do we stay on the right path? Let's go to Revelation. Back to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2.